Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 28, 2022. This morning I will talk about faith and works. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Compassionate and loving Father, all praise and honor, power and glory are yours, Spirit of truth and justice in a fallen world. We look on your works and can only respond with songs of praise and model our efforts after yours. We confess that this fallen world is the product of our unsavory desires, pride, injustice, and a willful departure from your example in Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Give us hearts that will to do better. Thank you for the gift of the Scriptures, the example of Christ's life, and the good intentions of those that went before us. Help us to remember and learn from the lessons of past mistakes that we might not repeat them. In the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us the strength to follow your example, the grace to offer those we meet, and the peace that passes all understanding. May no one suffer needlessly on our watch. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In James chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point becomes accountable for all of it." If knowing the moral thing to do is insufficient motivation for actually doing it, then what happens when the next step is taken and one focuses on doing solely good works? Do good works credential one's faith, making it plain for all to see? What does the Bible say about judging actions? What about law? Interpreting good works as pointing to faith in a loving God poses a statistical problem. Correlation does not establish causality. There are potentially an infinite number of theories to explain actions that we observe. The dilemma here is why statisticians adopt a rather oblique phrase in their studies. Observations do not prove a given hypothesis, they only fail to reject one. Actions may speak louder than words, but they do not specify what words they speak. This principle from statistics leaves theologians knotted up for words in discussing the relationship between works and faith, as observed in the second chapter of James. Politicians understand this problem, which is why they employ talented publicists to spin their accomplishments and defend their policy stances. It is often fun to watch these publicists at work because their art arises in administering lipstick to pigs. In this vein, Christians cannot assume that their good works will point to God in a cynical world seeking ulterior motives, not godly ones. The biblical warrant for assuming that good works point to God is provided by the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 2:12 we read, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil against you, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day of visitation." Here Peter is not talking about interpreting actions, but rather about public perceptions of actions. The Apostle James digs deeper in the relationship between faith and works, but finishes his argument with a recognition that good works merely serve as an indicator of faith. James writes, "For the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." This is James chapter 2, verse 26. Jesus also speaks to this issue with a partial indicator in the case of false prophets. "You will recognize them by their fruits." This is Matthew 7, 20. Bad fruit cannot originate from a good prophet. He does not infer about what good fruit indicates. The only way to interpret actions is to examine the condition of the heart, something normally left to God on Judgment Day. In our materialist society, the church in the United States was sharply divided between those who focused on developing and sharing their faith, that is, evangelicals, and those that focused on charity, acts of mercy, and political expressions of their faith, that is, progressives. While this dichotomy still exists, this dichotomy has declined in recent years with the demise of Christendom, and as Christians of all stripes have learned in practice that the two cannot be separated. As the social pressure to attend church has subsided, those who have remained have been more open to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, both individually and corporately, aiding a productive learning process. What remains in the public domain is a tradition of legislating morality in the absence of a strong Christian influence. The separation of church and state has broken down, with state influence winning hands down, if one defines the state to include large corporations, public schools, and media organizations. In this political environment, public debate is unfocused and subject to manipulation through the sparking of sham debates. One unfocused debate concerns the high cost of medical care in the United States relative to other countries. Cason Deaton, that is, economist emeritus of Princeton University, write, "In 2017, the Swiss lived 5.1 years longer than Americans, but spent 30% less per person on medical care. Other countries achieved a similar length of lifespan for still fewer health dollars. Expenditures on healthcare in 2017 was 17.9% of GDP, that is gross domestic product, in the United States. The next highest in the world was Switzerland, with only 12.3%. The focus on healthcare costs is a non-starter in the U.S. Congress because the healthcare industry employs the largest number of lobbyists of any group. The decline in the living standard of most Americans over the past 30 years underscores the dysfunctionality of this unfocused political debate. Paying too much for healthcare diverts resources away from education and productive investments elsewhere, contributing to this decline in average living standards. An important role for leadership is to concentrate corporate energy on accomplishing constructive goals and to minimize community raging about divisive issues. Good leadership focuses on constructive goals, while bad leadership emphasizes divisive issues. The rapid growth in multinational corporations since the Second World War has narrowed the leverage that public debate can have on real economic issues, as powerful private interests have pursued their own interests with less and less public input and have manipulated the public debate that is allowed to take place. Daily news accounts channel reported events to reflect strict narratives and limit the time devoted to discussing other issues. Given this paradigm, one after another government agencies regulating commerce have failed in their basic missions as they face strong private opposition, crimped budgets, and little or no airtime is given in corporate media. Planes crashing, food poisonings, health crises, and massive numbers of preventable drug overdoses are examples of failed public regulation in recent years. A sham debate occurs when the bandwidth for a debate is diverted away from pressing concerns. It may also have the hallmark of a divide-and-conquer strategy being employed by public leaders, or focus on polarities rather than solvable problems. A polarity is an issue like equity or rights that cannot be solved but only managed. The hallmark of a sham debate often is that it stirs up a lot of emotion while facing little opposition. Examples of sham debates are not hard to find. In the current coronavirus pandemic, what consumes a large portion of the public debate? Is it how much to spend on pandemic relief or abatement? No. The public debate focuses on the rights of individuals to refuse a vaccination or to wear a mask that might save their lives. This debate has spread worldwide, but the epicenter of this debate is here in the United States, where Americans obsess about their rights, and some public leaders have scratched that itch for political gain. Bad leadership in this respect has cost countless lives, as the unvaccinated and unmasked make up the majority of deaths in the pandemic in this year, 2022. The examples of unfocused public debate and unnecessary deaths during the greatest public health crisis in a century make the point that one cannot assume that individuals and corporate entities can be assumed to operate in a moral fashion independent of a shared faith component. Good works do not credential faith in a loving God, but are the fruit of that faith. The two cannot and should not be separated, either individually or corporately. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.